Leave No Trace: How a Teenage Hacker Lost Himself Online. Jose Robbe was leaving her place of work in Rotterdam when she saw a man and a woman walking towards her. It was a Tuesday afternoon, 20th of March 2012. "Are you Mrs. Robbe?" She nodded. The woman, who was wearing jeans and a black wind cheater, explained that she was with the police. "I'd like to talk to you for a minute. It's about your son, Edwin. We're arresting him." Jose stared, frozen. The woman asked if she would accompany them. Warily, Jose agreed. At the police car, the officer told her they intended to surprise her son at the family home in Barendrecht, just south of Rotterdam, and arrest him on the spot. She asked if Jose wanted to be there for her son's arrest. "No," she replied grimly. It felt as if she had just betrayed her son. To stand by and watch would make it even worse. The police asked Jose for her house keys and dropped her off at a plaza by the local supermarket a few blocks from her house. She felt terrible as the officers drove away to arrest her eldest child, just a troubled 17-year-old. A little while later, three officers emerged from the house escorting Edwin between them. He offered no resistance. Edwin was taken to a detention center in Houten, near Utrecht. Once he was gone, Jose finally re-entered her house. She sat on the living room sofa, watching as officers rummaged through cabinets, filed up and down the stairs, and bagged up flash drives, CD-ROMs, and telephones. Several years later, I visited Jose and her husband, Ruud, in their terrace house in Rotterdam, where they told me about Edwin, and I explained to them how I had contacted him. I had tracked Edwin down through a source, obtained his telephone number, and eventually made contact with him after repeated attempts. At first, he didn't respond to the WhatsApp messages I sent. When he finally did reply, it was from a different number. What I wanted to know was why he had attacked the Netherlands' biggest telecom company and plunged it into chaos. I wanted to know how he'd learned to do what he did, and what had happened to him after his arrest. Our chats were erratic. One day he'd be effusive and engaging, then he'd become remote. Sometimes days would pass before he answered a message. It would turn out he was in Asia. We also talked on Skype once. I wanted to meet. He did too, he said. But we never would. Edwin died a few months before my visit to his parents. As we talked, grief over the loss of their son reared up suddenly several times. Ruud had been the last person to see Edwin alive, and it still weighed heavily on him.